Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. Please be seated, and let us ask for the Lord's blessing now as we consider we're going to be focusing today on verses 1 through 4. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and we thank you that you have revealed to yourself to us in that way, that we can speak of you. We do speak to you as Father, even Abba, Father, that you have so revealed yourself to us. And that also places us in the blessed privilege of being your children, adopted heirs of Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ, in him. And so we pray that you would enable us, as we consider this portion of your holy word, and as it focuses on fathers and mothers here on earth, help us to have our eyes fixed upon you as they point to you in their lives, in their callings. And help us as those who are raised by fathers and mothers, and those who are under authority by those that you have placed that represent you. Enable us, O Lord, to hear and to receive and to learn, whether we are young or whether we are old. No matter where we are children, and we are under authorities. And for many of us, we are also not only children, but also fathers and mothers responsible for our children. And so we have a double calling in this passage. And so we pray that you would help us to be able to hear and receive and to trust you and to obey. There are commands here in this text. Enable us to hear, receive, trust, and obey. We ask this now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been thinking lately and meditating on what it must have been like for Adam and Eve to conduct themselves as parents. We read in chapter 4 in the book of Genesis that Eve conceived and brought forth a son, and she named the son Cain, which means acquired. For I have acquired a man from the Lord. And then it says that she conceived again and brought forth Abel. And then we read later on that there were sons and daughters as well and all. And so we see the propagation of the human race through Adam and Eve. But the thing that I've been thinking about is they did not have those social structures that we are used to. They didn't have a father or a mother, did they? I mean, they, in a sense, they had God, their creator, But they didn't have a human father or a human mother. They didn't have grandparents. They didn't have cousins and aunts and uncles. They didn't have that social structure. And they were doing it all from scratch. Imagine that. They didn't have that wisdom of the experience. They couldn't turn to their father or mother and say, how did you deal with this? Or they didn't have those experiences, right? Imagine that. What a challenge that was. What a challenge that would be. Now, we all have had fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. We've all had these family situations, even if we were abandoned, even as orphans, there were still structures. Somebody came alongside and took care of us, foster parents or even in the system. There were those. When we're born, scientists say, human babies are the most dependent and pathetic creatures. They cannot do anything for themselves. If you stop and you think about when a cow gives a birth or a horse gives birth, that creature almost immediately, if not immediately, is standing and is running around. But a human baby is pathetic. It can't do anything. About the only thing it can do is eat and the other end and cry. Right? That's about it. Pathetic. Helpless. Someone must feed and take care of and nurture that child, or that child will die. And so God has placed these individuals in our lives that have taken care of us, that have provided for us, that have put up with our crying, with our dirty diapers, with our rebellion, and with our growth, and also enjoyed the blessings as they watched you grow and become an adult. For those of you that are adults and for those that are still children, there's such a great joy in raising and having children. Those structures that we take for granted, that we are born in and that Adam and Eve didn't have, those are gifts from God. Even when our father or mother, those that are caregivers, are sinners and many times sin against us, they are still been placed by God for our good. And so in our passage today, the command to all of us, because all of us, every one of us, in one sense, are children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. As a father now of adult children, well, I don't know if they would consider themselves children anymore because they're adults. But I still remember the diapers, and I still remember the colicky, and I remember the sickness, and I remember the rebellion and the discipline, and I remember these things. They're still children. They'll always be my children. As a matter of fact, we have a book at home that says, "You never stop being a parent." They're still our adult children. And so am I. So are you. We're still children of God. Is that a curse or is that a blessing? I think it's the greatest honor to be identified with our Heavenly Father, that He says, not simply, "You're my servant," but "You're my son. You're my daughter. I have that kind of relationship with you." And so we are called to honor those that God has placed as representatives of Himself. And so the proposition is there in the bulletin. God has chosen to reveal Himself and His care for us first through our earthly mothers and fathers. through them, he challenges us to obey him and teaches us, or to teach us, how to show him the respect he deserves. And even better, he provides many positive incentives to motivate and encourage us to hear and receive, to trust and obey. As the title of the sermon, honor your father and your mother, that it will be good for you. I could have put the word shalom, that it would be shalom for you, that it would be well for you. And so as we consider this text, that is the command. It is a command, the first commandment, with a promise of blessing. So as we consider our text, just a quick reminder, especially for those who haven't been with us, that this letter of grace that Paul writes to the Ephesian church has been one where Paul has described and encouraged us as well as them with the grace of God. God's grace to us is found in Jesus Christ. The summary of it is there in chapter 2, verse 6. He has raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so that's another way you could describe the first three chapters. That we are already in heaven. Because Christ is in heaven, and we are in Christ, and so therefore we are in heaven. Our Father acknowledges us, his children, his heavenly children, adopted heirs of Jesus Christ. And we are seated in heavenly places. That is our identity. That is who you are. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is who you are. You are a child of God. And the Father says, you're mine. I have purchased you. I have redeemed you. I claim you. And I am working in you to make you more and more like my Son. The Holy Spirit continually is working to change us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. And so we are seated with Christ. Our orientation, our proper perspective is set before us. When we look at everything else around us, we look at our own actions, we look at the actions of others, we look at so from a heavenly perspective. But we are here on earth, and our feet are on this ground. And so what should we do while we are here on earth? We stand and we walk. We conduct ourselves. We move about. God has given us the ability. We're not like trees that are planted and don't move. Even though the Bible says that we should be like trees, we're not trees in that sense. We walk about. And so we have been considering from chapter 4, verse 1, the command, walk, 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 walk. Different ways of walking. Different ways that we are to conduct ourselves in our lives. Moving, following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have worked our way through chapter 4 and now chapter 5, and we have now come to chapter 6, and now the command, and again, this I think the key to this whole passage is all the way back in chapter 4, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so we looked last week at the command for wives to submit to their own husbands, your own husbands as to the Lord, and the command for husbands to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ by loving your husband, loving your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Notice that. What did they say? Both husbands and wives are to submit to Christ. He's the Lord. It's in the Lord that you love. It's in the Lord you submit. We're to serve one another. We're to love one another. We're to respect one another. We're to honor those in authority over us. And so now Paul moves to another area of showing respect and honor to those that represent him. So the first question is, who is it that I am supposed to honor? Well, the passage is very clear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. But notice again that statement, in the Lord. Our reverence, our honor of our parents starts with our reverence, our honor of the Lord. As we read in, or as you read again and again in the book of Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of everything, of wisdom, of knowledge, of understanding, of right life. And so we are called to reverence, to respect, to fear God, to exalt Him who is already exalted above all creation. We are called to exalt someone who's already exalted. How do you do that? How do you exalt someone who is already transcendent above all things? That's what we're called to do. How do you do it? It starts in the heart, doesn't it? Acknowledging, or another way of saying it, is relating to Him as He really is. It's acting rationally. It is what is right. It's acting and understanding and moving with the understanding of who He is as the exalted. He says that He inhabits eternity. His name is holy. He is high and exalted above all things. He's the creator. He is the provider. And He is the judge. And we are called to respond to Him appropriately, and that is to fear Him, to respect Him, to honor Him. But with that comes also the call, or as the command says, the responsibility to honor those who He has placed as image bearers. Not only our parents, but all men. We are created in His image. We are the crown of creation. He has given us responsibility over creation under Christ. But in particular, in our command today, in our text, we are to honor, respect, and fear those who are placed in authority over us, fathers and mothers. Calvin writes in his commentary on the fifth commandment, he writes, "By that subjection which is easiest to tolerate, the Lord therefore gradually accustoms us to all lawful subjection. Since the reason for all is the same, indeed He shares His name with those to whom He has given preeminence, so far as it is necessary to preserve this. The titles Father, God, and Lord so belong to Him alone. As often as we hear any one of these, our mind cannot fail to be struck by the awesome awareness of His majesty." But here's what, again, what did he say? He said, the subjection which is easiest to tolerate. He says earlier, we normally, if we submit at all, the natural man, we do so grudgingly. We are forced to do so because of things, because of powers that are placed over us. He says, but the easiest to tolerate of all subjection should be under those who love us, who care for us, who give of themselves for us, namely our parents. It's easier to submit to someone who loves you than it is to submit to a tyrant who abuses you. And God has placed. Now, many times we, what's the old statement? Familiarity breeds contempt, right? Well, they always take care of me. Really? Is that the way you should look on? What about thank you for what they have done? The sacrifices that your parents have done. We take for granted those things, don't we? The sacrifices, the day in and day out responsibility that they have done. And so we have this call to be in subjection, to obey those who love us, who care for us, that God has placed over us in the Lord. Calvin says, goes on to say, those persons, therefore, with whom he shares these titles, he lights up with a spark of his splendor. Isn't that an interesting statement? He lights up with a spark of his splendor so that each may be distinguished according to his decree. Thus, in him who is our Father, we should recognize something divine because he does not bear the divine title without cause. So we should honor parents, fathers, and mothers because God has placed them and given them that name. God has identified himself to us as Father. And even in the Old Testament, we find places where God refers to himself as a nursing mother. He is the one who cares for us. So who are we to honor? All men. For all are in the image of God, but especially those who God has placed over you, that you have a relationship with. Second point. If you are, for those of you that are Star Trek fans, I've been told that Live Long and Prosper, you know, from the Vulcan group, actually comes from the synagogue. I don't know if you've heard that before. Live long and prosper is that idea of shalom. The Hebrew greeting is shalom, which could be translated live long and prosper. So the choice is live long and prosper or die young and miserable. That's what our passage is hinting at, if not stating. Honor your father and your mother, verse 2, which is the first commandment with promise, that, purpose, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So what's the opposite of living long? Short life. What's the difference between living well? Miserable existence. Your choice. Listen to that. Your choice. Why should I honor my father, my mother, my boss, the police officer that pulled me over, and on and on and on, these various authorities that God has placed? Because it's the right thing to do, Paul says. Or I should say, God says. It is right. Verse 1, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is the right thing to do. If you don't know what the right thing to do, if you're trying to figure it out, obey your parents. If you're confused, obey your parents. Listen to them. Even nature teaches us that. God commands us to. God, if God said it, that settles it, right? Not God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You can erase the I believe it. God said it, that settles it. Notice that it's not based on personal character or kindness or even expediency. It's based because it's right. Because that's what God has commanded. He has revealed this. He has not only revealed this, he has written it down. One of the things that I find interesting is to compare and contrast the two places where the Ten Commandments is located. One is in Exodus chapter 20, and the other is in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Have you ever sat down and did that, where you just read the two side by side and you just looked and see, is it exactly the same or are there differences? And you will find there are slight variations. And so I find that interesting. Maybe that's just me, but I find it interesting that Deuteronomy is not exactly the same word for word as Exodus. Almost, but not exactly. And the example that I want to focus your attention on is in verse 16 of Deuteronomy chapter 5. We find the command, which is also in Exodus, honor your father and your mother. And here's the addition, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. But notice that statement. It's not found in Exodus. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Notice that. Why is that added? That, to me, when I first read it and I thought about it, I said, that's redundant. I already know that. Yeah, he did command you. But notice that. He's pointing back to Exodus. He's pointing back to Exodus 20. I have already commanded you to honor your father and your mother. In other words, it's written down. Where is it written down? It's right there on the tablets in the sanctuary, right? We have the word of God written by God himself. And in it, it says, honor your father and your mother. It's written down by God himself. And so he references that. Now, I have commanded you to do so. It's not a suggestion. Not only so, but God gives us in our passage a twofold promise. Number one, that it will be well with you, or that it will be good, or that it will go good for you, and that you will live long in the promised land. So there's a motivation. Do you want to live long or die young? When I stop and when I think about some of the things that my parents tried to help me to avoid. For example, I stop and I think about how my father forbid me to buy certain kinds of cars when I was growing up. I could not buy a large block engine, a car with a large block engine. The largest engine that he would allow me to have is a 302, and so I had a 69 302 Mustang, which then I put headers on and dual quad and everything I could to try to get as much energy out of it. But he was smart enough to know if I got a big block engine, in other words, a car that could go really fast, what would I do with it? I would kill myself. I remember riding with a friend of mine as we were going 121 miles an hour in a car that was going like this because it wasn't built to go 121 miles an hour. My father knew best. He knew me. And so he required, he said, I will not allow you. If you're living in my house, you will not drive a car that will kill you. And I was very upset with him because I wanted to be like all my friends, right? I wanted to race and to be just like them. And he did it. Why? So that I would live long on the, that it would be well with me. Watch your car. And that you live long on the earth. Length of days, long life, and peace shall be added to you. That is what we read in Proverbs this morning, didn't we? Listen to your parents. Obey them, and it will go well with you. If you don't understand why they command you to do things, well, ask them in a polite way. But just because they don't answer doesn't mean that you can not, you don't have to obey them. It is the Father's law. So how are we to do this? Honor your father and your mother. How are we to do so? I would say, if you want to summarize that, love them dearly. Love them. Richard Baxter, in his small work on what's it called, the Christian Directory. It's good for exercising your muscles. You know, you can. But in it, he talks about this honoring. And one of the things he says concerning obeying your parents: consider also that your parents' government is necessary to your own good, and it is a government of love, as your bodies would have perished if your parents or some others had not taken care of you when you could not help yourselves, so your minds would be untaught and ignorant, even like to brutes, if you had not others to teach and govern you. Nature teaches that chickens, they follow the hen, and in all things, when they are young, to be led and guided by their mothers, or else they would become what would become of them. And so you are involved in a government of love. And so how do you respond to that government of love? Love the government. Love the governor. Love the one who serves and loves you. And so first and foremost, love and honor God. Believe the gospel. The Father gave his only begotten Son in order that you may become his son or daughter. And so don't lose sight of that. You have a heavenly Father, and you are called at all times to honor him. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Isn't that wonderful what Jesus taught his disciples to pray? That aspect that God says, don't just call me Lord or transcendent one, but call me Father. Yes, I'm transcendent, but I'm your transcendent, but I'm also with you. I am your Father. So how do we do so? We obey God. We honor him. We express our gratitude. We love him. That is the foundation. When it comes to any human being, they're going to fail us. So we don't set our eyes on them. We set our eyes on him. He's the one that has placed them into our lives. Obedience, that first point in the third point. Calvin writes, it is likewise more difficult, for the human mind recoils from the idea of subjection, and with difficulty allows itself to be placed under the control of another. Is that what Adam and Eve, in their fall, they did not subject themselves to a simple command? Don't eat of this tree. Eat of all the trees you want, just this one. Simple command. They rejected. They did not obey. Their minds and their hearts recoiled from that idea of subjection. And we follow in their footsteps, don't we? Obey those that have the rule over you. Secondly, honor, reverence, esteem. How do you do that? One of the ways to do that is by starting with the internal. Cultivate those feelings. The natural thing to do is, especially when I'm in trouble with an authority, is not to love and to cultivate a positive feeling towards the police officer that just pulled me over and I know I'm going to get a ticket. And it's probably going to cost me $1,000 for that infraction or so. I have no warm, fuzzy feelings towards him. It's more the idea of, why did you have to pick me out? Now, this guy behind me was racing just like I was, whatever, right? We have excuses. But you don't understand, officer. Cultivate inward feelings. Number one, how do you do that? Show them courtesy. I have in my notes, treat them as royalty. That's a strange thought. Do you treat your parents? Did you treat your parents as royalty? Do you treat your boss at work with that kind of respect? If you were invited to go to the White House and you chose to go, would you go in jeans and a cutoff? Would you go in just dirty clothes, or would you dress up? Would you dress for the occasion? Would you show honor to the one who's showing honor to you? Okay, so it's not the White House. Let's say Buckingham Palace. Wherever you say, someone of great importance invited you, would you dress appropriately? And I think you would. Showing courtesy. You know where the word courtesy comes from? The idea of the court. You respond appropriately to who you're dealing with. Secondly, how do you honor and esteem? Show compassion. I like what the Catechism says, that we are to live with or endure their infirmities. Heidelberg Catechism on the Ten Commandments. Question number 104. I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all in authority over me, submit myself to their with due obedience to all their good instruction and correction, and also bear patiently with their infirmities, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. To bear patiently with their infirmities. Those in authority over us have infirmities, guaranteed. We're called to bear patiently with them, to have compassion for them. Again, they are in a position of responsibility over you that they were placed in. Have compassion for them. They have to put up with you. Another way that you can esteem them, use their proper title. Father, mother, officer, deputy, sir, ma'am. Show them respect by using yes, sir, no, sir. When I was in the Philippines, I joked about it. I was there, and by the end of the trip, I said to someone, I said, I've been called sir more times in these 2 weeks than I have in my entire life. Everywhere I turned, it was yes, sir, no, sir. It was like, wow, this is so strange. I like it, but it's so strange to me. Show respect. In doing so, we're showing respect to God. And another way that we can show esteem is to ask for advice. Humility. The temptation that we have is I already know what to do. I already know it all. Ask for advice. Even if you know what you're going to do, it's wise to get counsel from somebody else, isn't it? In the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. To ask for that, that's a way of esteeming and honoring, of showing reverence to our parents, to those in authority over us, is to humble ourselves and to show them love. And also, gratitude. Consider what would it be like if you didn't have your dad around, your mom around. For those of you that have lost your dad, lost your mom, you know what I'm talking about. Like I said before, I lost my dad and then I lost my mom. And when I lost my mom, I was 40 years old, 39 years old, had four children. And it hit me, I'm an orphan. I'm married with four children, but I'm an orphan. I can't go and ask, hey, mom, remember when? Hey, dad, remember? Can't do that anymore. I don't have them there. I don't have that ability. Yeah, it's easy to find fault with their failures and their weaknesses. And they could be many or few. They're sinners, saved by grace if they're saved. Consider what God has given you. Count up those blessings and express those to them. Notice this obedience, this honor, this gratitude. These require the heart that loving them dearly from the heart. What happens when we do that? What happens when you love those in authority over you, whether they're good or bad, whether they're perfect or whether they have failures? What happens to you? There's a change that occurs in your own life, in your own attitude toward them. God has given to us so much compared to Adam. And this is in conclusion again. Not only do we have good examples, bad examples, not only do we have various settings that we are in, various covenants that we are involved in with family and work and church and state and all, and we can learn, but we have also the Word of God, which He directs us in how we are to respond to and react. So unlike Adam and Eve, who in many ways had to learn as they went, we don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to be like a brute beast. Well, what do I do when it comes to this? What do I do with God has given to us His Word. God has given to us godly wisdom through our parents, through those in authority, those who have gone before. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can learn from the mistakes of the past so you don't have to repeat them yourselves, right? Those that don't learn from history, what is the statement? They're doomed to repeat the failures. Praise God that He has given to us fathers and mothers. And today, as we celebrate the Reformation, as we look back to our fathers in the faith, we sang earlier, faith of our fathers living still. Do we appreciate what God has done through them? Let's try to remember to do so today. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we do come before You, and we thank You, O Lord, that You have called us. Not just ourselves individually, but have called us not only to have relationship with You, but to really have relationship with one another as families, as households, as a church. And that You have instituted image bearers of You, special image bearers in our fathers and mothers. Help us, O Lord, to love them as You have called us to. Grant unto us the ability to see and appreciate them, to honor and respect them. We pray, O Lord, that You would enable us to learn, to grow, as Your Word says, so that it would go well with us and that we would live long in the land that You have given to us. So we ask for Your grace in these things, in Jesus' name.